Two readings from God's Word for Easter Sunday. The first concerning Jesus' crucifixion and death, chapter 23 of Luke's Gospel, verses 36 through 43. The soldiers also came up and mocked Jesus. They'd offered him wine, vinegar, and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise." A second reading from Luke's Gospel in the 24th chapter concerning Jesus' resurrection from the dead. The 24th chapter, the first 8 verses. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered his words. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. We begin our considerations on these passages of Scripture with one more Scripture from 1 Timothy in the first chapter, where it says, "Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." We celebrate today that new life is available in and through Jesus Christ. We are reminded of this in Jesus' crucifixion because Jesus wasn't the only accused who died that Friday long ago. 3 men died by crucifixion that day. We focus on Jesus, and we should, but perhaps we will learn more about Jesus if we pay attention to the other men who died with Jesus on the cross. First of all, the obvious. Let us learn and remember the obvious point. The cross was not a peculiar or unusual punishment. It was used often. People knew what it was. It was public, as many executions were. It was especially for the purpose of making an example of the criminal perpetrator. That is not to say that Jesus' crucifixion was not special. Jesus' death on a cross was special. After all, Jesus had the weight of all sin upon him. But there were 3 crosses that day, and we know what happened to 2 of those men, and we know what happened to them because the Bible tells us what happened to them. We are not told directly concerning the fate of the 3rd man, but we can have a good guess about his fate. Jesus had predicted his own death, and it was taking place as Jesus said it would. It was official, legal, and fatal. But Jesus also mentioned that he would be mocked, and Jesus certainly was mocked. Jesus was mocked by the crowd. Jesus was mocked by people who passed by. Even the Roman soldiers mocked Jesus as Jesus hung to die. And at this point, Luke mentions one of the other condemned men, and this criminal decided to mock Jesus. This criminal joins in the mocking that he has heard. This mockery is completely self-serving and selfish. For as the other criminal would point out, this man stood condemned and rightly so for the crimes that he had committed. And yet the other true criminal decided to mock the innocent man, and the true criminal mocked Jesus in the same way the others had mocked him, with Jesus' identity. "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebukes the mocking criminal. The criminal asks the other, "Do you not fear God?" What the Bible says is the other criminal rebuked him, and then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered, "Truly I tell you, Today you will be with me in paradise. What is paradise? Is it heaven? I can't say that paradise is the same thing as heaven, but paradise is close to heaven. Would you and I want to go to paradise? Definitely. Can we get into paradise? Maybe. You'll have to pay close attention. Paradise is mentioned in other places in the Bible. The Apostle Paul mentioned it. Paul calls paradise the third heaven. Usually we think of seven heavens, and if that is the case, then the third heaven is only a stage of heaven, not entirely heaven. There's a tradition that paradise is where the righteous, that would be the righteous of the old covenant, the righteous wait in the third heaven. They wait in paradise. They wait for judgment. What this might mean is that the third heaven is as high as mortals go, which is where mortal Paul went, as he mentions in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The souls of the redeemed may enter highest heaven, but mortals don't go there. Jesus came from the highest heaven because Jesus is God. Jesus was God, and Jesus came from the Heavenly Father. Jesus uses the word paradise. Paradise is a place that mortals might know about, and certainly the Apostle Paul experienced. Jesus will be there, although the Bible also says that Jesus will be there in paradise among other places. And Jesus told the one criminal, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Please notice, and it is important, Jesus did not say to the criminal on the cross, "See you later in paradise." Jesus did not say, "You are going to paradise." Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus said, "Today you will be with me, and I will be in paradise." Jesus is saying, "You will be my guest." This report clearly tells us that it's never too late to turn to Jesus. It's never too late to be saved, if that is what you need to hear. But it should be added, why wait? Why wait to see your plans wrecked, like this thief's plans were wrecked? Why not start a new life now? Why not start a better life now? Why not follow Jesus now? So that you can be sure when it comes to the end of your life, you'll be more like the one who saw paradise and not like the other thief who did not. Why not start a new life now? Why not start a better life now? Why not follow Jesus now? This brings us to the other crucified man's problem. This man did not know Jesus. As was mentioned, the criminal takes up and joins in the taunts he has heard from the soldiers and the Jewish leaders. If you are the Christ, or rather, are you not the Christ? This man, this criminal, instead of asking, as the other criminal did, this man made demands of Jesus. Are you not the Messiah? It's stated as to demand an answer, and then the criminal demands, save yourself and us. Jesus was taunted by the crowd, by the soldiers and the leaders to save. And you see, Jesus did save. Jesus saved one criminal. We can only draw one conclusion about this other man, whose fate is not told to us. There is no place for him in paradise or heaven. This man did not know Jesus. As the other criminal demonstrated, who did know Jesus, if even for a few hours, knowing Jesus is the difference. The only way to paradise is a guest pass from Jesus at the gate. Without knowing Jesus, you can't get in. Now, it may be to some that that alternative sounds mean or even arbitrary. I simply share with you what Bill Wheezy shared in his book and speech, 20 Questions About Hell. Heaven is God's house. The Lord does not plan on having strangers live with him in his house. Are you known for letting strangers come to live at your house? The Lord is not. Jesus did not say to the criminal on the cross, "See you later in paradise." Jesus did not say, "You're going to paradise." Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus was saying, "You will be my guest." That's important. Because whatever else any of us thinks about this conversation on the cross, Jesus and this criminal, whatever else we think about it, one thing all of us would agree on is that what Jesus is promising is not fair. And I would say that you are correct. It isn't fair. How can a life of crime get anyone into paradise? The answer is it can't. It cannot. A life of crime cannot get you into paradise. Nothing can get you and I into paradise. No thing can get us into paradise. A lifetime of good deeds also cannot get us into paradise. Only a person gets you to paradise, and that is Jesus. I've told you, and I will tell you again and again, that I, your pastor, do not know the way to heaven. I've studied at the university, I've been to seminary, I've read the Bible several times, and in more than one language, and I don't know the way to heaven. But I do know the person who does know the way to heaven, and that is Jesus. The only way I will ever have of getting to heaven is because I know Jesus. If you're interested in paradise or heaven, I strongly suggest that you get to know the only person who can take you there. Friends, getting to paradise is relational. Getting to paradise is related to Jesus. Some are troubled by this. Others are more troubled at the one criminal's pass to go to paradise. Even some believers have some trouble with this. Well, Jesus' promise to this poor man on the cross next to him demonstrates God's graciousness. It gives truth to the words that the Apostle Paul would later write, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I need to say more about this in a moment, but Jesus, in promising paradise to this repeat offender on the cross next to him, this is a scandal. Maybe that's why we don't focus or take notice of this report of Jesus' crucifixion. Some of us are uncomfortable with the notion that the thief is forgiven. It's hard for us to think that God forgives people whom we don't want to forgive. Even when we understand that forgiveness does not erase the wrong done to us, forgiveness is hard. But our God in Christ does forgive. Whenever people acknowledge Jesus as their Savior, sometimes we want to consider the thief a thief with a righteous cause. Maybe he was wanting to feed his own hungry family, but in the ancient world, a thief probably was literally stealing from the mouths of other people. Whether the thief needed anything or not, and that's pure speculation, but the thief's forgiveness is a scandal, and maybe it is the scandal of the cross. We don't deserve forgiveness. We don't deserve paradise. But it is offered to us as Jesus offered it to that criminal. So this promise of Jesus is not fair. That is correct. God's love is not fair. And that's the point. God's love, Jesus' love, is way beyond fairness. God's love isn't close to fair. Take any number of Jesus' own stories. Remember the Good Samaritan? In Jesus' story, no Jewish person, including workers in the temple of God, none of them helped the man left for dead. But the Samaritan did. Is that fair? No. But when our lives are a wreck, Jesus is there to bind our wounds and see that we get the help we need. When we make a wreck of our lives, Jesus is there to help. Jesus tells of a father's love because one son took and spent the funds of the family business to pleasure himself. When the same son came home, completely broken, the father restored the son completely. The son who had shown himself to be irresponsible is given responsibility in the family business again. Why? It's from the father's great love. I wonder if this has ever happened to you. Your family took a trip. Could be Aunt Sarah's, could be the park. All the kids were allowed to take one toy with them. On the way home from the trip, it's discovered that a toy was left behind. In this case, the father turns the vehicle around, returns to where the toy was left, turns back around to head for home. Our God, who created the earth, came all the way back to earth through Jesus Christ to take us back with him to our heavenly home. And in our Lord's case, Jesus died in order to bring us back to our heavenly home. Not very fair, is it? The Father didn't misplace the toy, but the Father made the trip back to retrieve it. It isn't fair for the crucified man to receive paradise. The man even says, as he's hanging on the cross, that he deserves this punishment. But somehow, somewhere, that criminal saw in Jesus that Jesus is king, and the man is making Jesus king of whatever is left of his life. One final note. The fact that Jesus can speak with such authority about the promise to the man on the cross concerning paradise shows that Jesus has God's power of judgment, which Jesus wields graciously. That day long ago, there were three crosses. Jesus was taunted by the crowd and by the soldiers and the leaders to save. And you see, Jesus did save. Jesus saved the one criminal. Amen.